Steve, I appreciate those words. And yes, I'm nervous. I'm always nervous, especially at the beginning. But I believe the Lord has placed a message on my heart, and I'm glad to see you out this evening, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it always seems as though Sunday evenings, our numbers are few, and it seems like to me, this is my opinion, I guess, that sometimes the people that need to hear the sermon the most are probably not here, but that's okay. I'm going to preach the sermon that the Lord has placed upon my heart, and I know that there's probably something in it for us, I hope. Most of you have figured out by now that I am a low-tech person. I can barely use my cell phone, let alone get on Facebook and use the computer, but that's another thing that my wife does that I'm thankful for. And once in a while, when she's got her laptop open to Facebook, sometimes I'm looking over her shoulder just out of curiosity. And the other day, I saw a posting that kind of caught my attention. And probably most of you have probably already seen it, but I don't know who put it on there, but it was just one of those little sayings that caught my eye, and I wanted to repeat it to you tonight. And it's real short. It just says, I am no longer looking for signs. I am now listening for the sound of the trumpet. And I thought that was pretty cool, pretty right on as far as the day in which we live. And my sermon tonight, is a message to the church, a message to the church. Newsflash, Satan desires to have you. Satan desires to have you, and he desires to have the Church of Christ. I'm going to start out with a text from the book of Revelation. And all this, of course, all the scriptures I'm going to be using tonight are going to be ones that are familiar to you. I'm going to read just a couple of verses from Revelation chapter 12. Chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And we know that that woman that he persecuted was the Church of Christ that Christ built. Going over into the next chapter, 13, just one verse there, Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, speaking again of Satan. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. These scriptures were given approximately 2,000 years ago. History tells us there was a time that Satan was able to completely overthrow the church, that church that Christ built. We should ask ourselves, does he not want to do the same to the church that Christ restored? That church that was restored in these last days, does he not want to also overthrow that church? And if this scripture was given around 2,000 years ago, and it says then that Satan's time was short, you know, how must he now, in our day, how must he have an urgency to continue and to hasten and to enlarge his war with the church, his war with Christ Church. I'm sure his sense of urgency is great these days as he sees the end coming and he sees the end of his time coming. You know, it is said that history repeats itself. We've been greatly blessed in the church. We've been greatly blessed. I know in the last several years, as far as I can remember in the church, many good things have happened in the Church of Christ, and we have been greatly blessed that we've had callings, we've had miracles, we've had spiritual blessings. And people say that history repeats itself. We've been assured by the Lord that this church will not be destroyed. You don't have to turn to it, but in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it says, "The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." And we know that kingdom was set up or established, begun in 1830 when the Church of Christ was restored. And we're assured that kingdom shall never be destroyed. But we have a concern, don't we, for our time. We have a concern that because of Satan having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time, we know that he is working hard to destroy as many of the souls of men in this church as he can. And we know that he's having some success. I know that each one of us would have to admit, as we look around and we see certain things happen, things that we're familiar with, people that we're familiar with, we have to admit that though this kingdom will never be destroyed, Satan is having some success among us. And that saddens us. It gives us concern, and it gives us a concern and the need for prayers to the Lord. And you know, this restored Church of Christ, this church of our day, has received many warnings from some of our brothers of old through the Scriptures, both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. We've received warnings from our brothers of the past. I'd like to go through to 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, these are not going to be unfamiliar scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5. Just going to read verses 8 and 9. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Walking about. Seems as though he's taking his time, as though he feels confident in what he's doing. "He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." We're to resist him. There's another place in the scriptures where it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I wish I could resist him more consistently than I do. I'd like to see him flee from me, but he keeps after me. He must see some easy prey here somewhere. Another brother, our brother Nephi, I'm going to go to page 154. This is 2 Nephi chapter 12. 2 Nephi chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 23, and I'm going to go through verse 30. Starting with verse 23 on page 154. "For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day," and I assume that day is just prior to the Lord's return, "at that day he," the devil, "shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good, stir them up to anger against that which is good. I don't know if people have been watching the news lately. We see several states in these United States that have seen the need to try to change some abortion laws, to put some restrictions on abortion laws in the interest of protecting innocent life of the unborn. Do you see the anger that's stirred up in some people? The protests, angry protests across the country of our politicians that dare take away reproductive rights. So something that we would consider would be good to have this abomination of abortion done away with, it stirs up others in their hearts to anger against something that we would consider good. Verse 25, and others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. I think that's a concern, and that's a danger that we have in the church, brothers and sisters, that we sometimes become complacent, and we feel secure, we're prospering, and we say all is well in Zion. And maybe sometimes all is well with us, but all is not well in Zion. Verse 26. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. There is none. We have people in the world today, even in some of our churches across the land, that are willing to talk a lot about eternity and spending eternity in heaven, but denying that there is such a thing as hell. But we know that there is there's an opposition to all things. Verse 28, and thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasp them with his awful chains, from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell. And death and hell and the devil and all that have been seized therewith must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, brothers and sisters, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. I think Brother Nephi is telling us that the Lord's people need to be vigilant. We know the signs. We may be listening for the sound of the trumpet, but we know the signs to look for, and we need to be vigilant in our own behavior, the things we do, and in the things we talk to our children about and others who are willing to listen. Yes, the Lord's people need to be vigilant in resisting the influences of the world among us. Worldly values must not be allowed to become normal within the church. I think I've seen some hints of that sometimes, where worldly values seem to be becoming normal among some within the church. We must remain a peculiar people, because one of Satan's desires is to make Christ's church a worldly church. That's what he wants to do with us. He wants to make us conform to the things of this world, to kid ourselves into thinking that there's no harm in those things, that we blend ourselves in with what other churches are doing or what other people in the world are doing. That's what he wants. Satan wants to make Christ's church a worldly church. So let's consider the church established by Alma among the Nephites. And in so doing, I'm going to go to Alma chapter 2. Alma chapter 2, it's a fairly lengthy reading. starting with verse 6, Alma chapter 2, page 310, starting with verse 6. And it came to pass in the seventh year of the reign of the judges, there were about 3,500 souls that united themselves to the church of God and were baptized. In 1 year, there were 3,500 souls that united themselves to the church of God. They were baptized. And thus ended the seventh year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, and there was continued peace in all that time. And it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of the judges, just 1 year later, that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen, and because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things were they lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear very costly apparel. The work of their hands became idols to them. Now this was the cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and to many of the people which Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Yea, many of them were sorely grieved for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among their people. For they saw and beheld with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes and to set their hearts upon riches and upon the vain things of the world. That they began to be scornful one towards another, and they began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus, in this eighth year of the reign of the judges, there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus ended the eighth year of the reign of the judges. And the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church. And thus the church began to fail in its progress. And it came to pass in the commencement of the ninth year, Alma, seeing the wickedness of the church, and seeing also that the example of the church began to lead those who were unbelievers on from one piece of iniquity to another, thus bringing on the destruction of the people. All this downfall of this church came in the space of 1 year. Or a period of 1 year to another year. And it becomes a warning to the church, whether this church or the church of these last days, a warning of the pride that can come from success and prosperity. And though the Lord has promised that this kingdom would never be destroyed, we need to guard against these things among our people. The pride that comes from our prosperity and our success. The Book of Mormon is full of stories like this, full of stories of peoples who humbled themselves, repented of their sins, and were greatly blessed and prospered by the Lord. And then sadly, within a few short years, those people often were lifted up in pride and returned to their worldly ways. I'm going to go now to page 584. This is in Helaman chapter 4. Page 584, Helaman chapter 4, starting with verse 48. Verse 48 through 55. And thus we can behold how false and also the unsteadiness of the hearts of the children of men. Yea, we can see that the Lord in his great infinite goodness doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in him. Yea, we may see at the very time when he doth prosper his people, yea, in the increase of their fields, their flocks and their herds, and in gold and in silver, and in all manner of precious things of every kind, and art sparing their lives and delivering them out of the hands of their enemies, softening the hearts of their enemies, that they should not declare wars against them, yea, and in fine doing all things for the welfare and happiness of his people. Yea, then is the time that they do harden their hearts and do forget their Lord, forget the Lord their God, and do trample under their feet the Holy One, yea, and this because of their ease and their exceeding great prosperity. And thus we see that except the Lord doth chasten his people with many afflictions, they will not remember him. Oh, how foolish and how vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear unto his counsels. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's path. We always want to walk, we want to walk after our own will and not the Lord's. And, you know, it's several times it's mentioned how we seem to want to chase after the vain things of this world. I know in Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher, he says all is vanity. Isn't all vanity in this world that we live in? And yet we, though our lives are short, we want to chase after those things. We're quick to be turned to those things by the wiles of the evil one. In recent years, the Church of Christ has truly been richly blessed of the Lord. How are we responding? How are we responding? Are we becoming complacent? Do you see any complacency within the church? Are we becoming prideful? And how is Satan responding? We know that Satan is at war with the Church of Christ. He went to war with the church that our Lord Jesus Christ built. He was able to overthrow that church. And though we have been assured that he will not overthrow this church, that this kingdom will always stand, he is still at war with us. He is at war with us, and he's gaining some ground. We know he is. He's not going to give up. So how is the Lord calling out to the Church of Christ? How is he calling out to us? So that we don't repeat the errors of past peoples, the past peoples that were inhabiting this land that are no longer. How is he trying to help us so that we don't repeat those same mistakes and become like those people of old? Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, let's read verses 16, starting with verse 16 through 20. Starting with verse 16, this is our Lord speaking to his disciples. And I think these words apply to all of us, all who are disciples, all who are members of his church. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. The Lord calls us out of the world. He calls us to not be a part of the world. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 6. Starting with verse 6 through 10. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. A peculiar people, showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And isn't that a big part of the purpose of the church? That we should show forth the praises of him to others, that they may also see the light of us that have been called out of darkness. Peter is, as John was exhorting God's people, and telling us again in his way that worldly ways cannot be accepted as normal within the church. We cannot accept worldly ways as normal, no matter how nicely, how prettily they're wrapped up in wrapping paper. We have been promised that Satan will not destroy or defeat Christ's church again as he once did. But do we allow him to have too much success among us? We must remain vigilant. We cannot allow Satan to continue making inroads among our people, and I believe, especially among our children, as we appear to be losing many of them to the world. The devil goes after our children, and we know that he's having some success. There's so much out there today that's placed in front of them by the evil one that we have to be vigilant. We have to be setting a good example to our young ones, that they see our good works, and that they see the need to put away the things of the world rather than following the things of the world. If we are following the things of the world, aren't our children going to do the same? I think so. Let's go to 3 Nephi, chapter 8. 3 Nephi, chapter 8, on page 651. 651. Start with verse 46. Verse 46 on page 651, 3 Nephi chapter 8, reading from from verse 46 through 52. Our Lord speaking. Therefore blessed are ye, if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father commanded me that I should give unto you. The Father told the Son to give these commandments unto the people. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. How can we pray with each other in the Lord's church if we don't meet together oft? Isn't that a commandment that we are to meet together oft? How can we pray among each other or lift one another up if we're not meeting together oft? Verse 49, behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude, and he saith unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. Didn't he just say that a few verses back? It must be important. He just said it again. Watch and pray always, always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Pray in your families that your wives and your children may be blessed. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, we are told, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall there be much required. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall there be much required. And doesn't that make sense? And isn't it right that those of us who have been given much, the Lord should expect much of us? It is certain that we will be judged according to what we know and what we understand, as well as what we actually do. The Lord will judge us and everyone according to what we know and understand. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting with verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 12 through the end of that chapter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I'm going to close tonight with a reading out of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5, the first 11 verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 1. These are the words of our brother Paul, words to the church of his day. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has not appointed us to wrath, but that we should obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let us stop looking for signs. Let's start listening for the sound of the trumpet. Thank you, brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Bruce.